said, his voice cracking and barely getting past his broken lips.
"Jarlaxle is irrelevant,"
Barilip said, and with a tone of authority that had Entreri thinking she knew something he did not.
"You remain alive for one reason."
"Or perhaps for two," she went on. "The choice is yours." "I am teeming with options," he whispered with sarcasm.
"One of your band was missing," Barilip said. "Where is he?"
"The dwarf is a woman, not a man," Entreri answered innocently.
"Not her!"
the priestess snapped back, and she slapped Entreri across the face.
"Where is he?"
Entreri held up his hands and wore a puzzled expression. "Two dead. Two in cages. The dwarf absent."
"The sixth of your troop."
"We are five."
"The drow," Barilip said. "Where is Drizdo Erden?"
"Him again," Entreri quipped.
"It is the last time I will ask you while you live, I assure you," she replied. "But do not doubt that I can inquire of your corpse."
"He is long dead," Entreri answered. "In a crevice in a glacier, far to the north. A decade and more now." The way he had answered, so casually and without any hesitation, clearly put the priestess off her guard. Her shoulders sagged a bit and she fell back a step.
"You dare lie to me?"
she asked, her hand going to her snake-headed whip. She tried to sound confident, but her initial reaction had already surrendered her inner feelings, and the perceptive Entreri knew that his lie had struck her profoundly.
"You will tell us everything we wish to know," Barilip said.
"About Drizdo Erden? Why would I not? I was never fond of the fool."
"Yet you saved him with your lie when last we met."
"I saved myself," Entreri replied. His voice was growing a bit stronger now. "Would you expect anything less? And my tale was effective, you must admit, because only around the edges was it false. You knew me as Jarlaxle's companion back in Menzo Berenzon."
"Are you half-elf? What magic keeps you alive? That was more than 100 years ago, yet you appear as a human of perhaps 40 years.
Entreri shrugged and laughed. "I am no elf. And the magic? I thought I knew, but alas, I was surely wrong."
"Then how are you alive?"
"You should ask Jarlaxle. Likely he knows more about it than I." Barilip came forward then, smiling wickedly. She put her hand out to cup Entreri's chin and forced him to look up at her.
"Once you pleased me," she said. "Perhaps again."
He didn't respond, and did well to keep the hatred out of his expression. But Barilip took a step back from him, walking away, then swung around suddenly, snake whip in hand. And she beat him, oh how she beat him, the serpents gashing his flesh, spilling poison into his veins. It went on for a long, long while, and Entreri was left squirming on the floor. Several drow males appeared then, out of nowhere, as if they had been in the room all along, hidden under a dwyamer of mass invisibility, perhaps. Two grabbed him by the ankles and dragged him away. He realized that much at least, as the whip's poison drove deeper into his sensibilities, pushing him farther from reality. By the time he opened his eyes again, brought back to consciousness by the pinging of smithy hammers, he was back in his hanging cage, Dahlia sobbing quietly and pitifully off to his right, Afa Frenfear slumped within the iron bands in a cage to his left. The battered assassin nodded as he took in the scene. The drow priestess had just made a mistake, he knew. She had given him purpose. He had no hope of leaving this place alive, unless it was to be dragged to Menzo Berenzon as a slave once more. But now,
He was determined to see at least one of these drow dead before him.
"Little Doe, my dear child," Tosin said, when he was at last reunited with Doomwheel in the lower corridors of the Underdark.
The Baenri entourage had broken away from Tesabarak, returning home to Menzo Baranzon.
"What have you let me into?"
Doomwheel asked, her voice and expression a combination of terror, shock, and dismay. That sad look and inflection wounded Tosin more than he ever could have imagined. He was the son of House Barrison Delarmco, after all, a drow noble warrior of high standing among the ranks of the second house of Menzo Baranzon, and perhaps the greatest warrior garrison of any drow house in the world. Why did he care about his daughter any more than the glory or trouble she would bring to him?
"What did you expect?" he asked rather callously. "Did I not teach you enough about the ways of the drow? Did growing up among our weakling cousins make you weak too?"
"Father!"
"Silence!" he cried, and he slapped her across the face. "Are you drow or are you Dorthir?" he demanded, using the drow term for the surface elves, and it was not a word spoken with any warmth at all.
"If I am Dorthir, then I am dead,"
Doomwheel replied.
"If you are Dorthir, then you will beg for death," Tosin was quick to clarify. "Do you think that Matron Mother Quenthal, or any of them, or even I, would suffer you to live?"
"Did you love my mother?"
"Love?"
The drow spat with open contempt. The question struck deeper than Tosin would admit, even than he would dare admit to himself. For yes, he had known love with Sinna Fein. And yes, his time among the elves of the Moonwood was at first out of convenience and for simple survival. But it had become more than that as the years had drifted past. But for it to remain more than that now meant certain doom, Tosin Armgo knew, both for himself and for his daughter.
"Love is reserved for the goddess," he instructed. "Your mother was my captor and nothing more. I took carnal pleasure from her as I could, and from that pleasure were you and your brother born. I could not leave her and her foul Dorthir tribe on my very life. But now you have led me... home."
Doomwheel stood perfectly still for a long while, digesting those words and the clear, callous spirit in which